I'm Senta, and you're listening to The Message of Grace with Pastor Jeremy Vance of GraceBloomington.Church. Thank you for joining us today for another installment of Preaching Free from Legalism and Religion. We hope that today's broadcast will inspire you to walk in grace in your relationship with Jesus. We also want to thank our donors who make this broadcast possible. Without you, we couldn't come to you weekly on this station. If you would like to donate, visit us at www.bloomington.church/give, where you can make a donation online through our safe and secure giving portal. Again, thank you for your generosity. I'll be back in just a little bit to tell you more about our ministry, but for now, let's head into the worship center for today's message of grace. It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. Just call it what
I want you to remember that everybody plays a dual role. There are times in your life where you play the role of shepherd in somebody else's life. And then there are times in your life where you are the sheep. And honestly, you're kind of playing both at the same time. Now, I want you to see this morning that while nobody should have absolute power over another human being, to accept and acknowledge the perfect shepherd's absolute power and authority over us is perfect and right. And so today, I want you to think about this idea of total surrender to the perfect shepherd. Total surrender. Now, we would never surrender to another human being, but we must surrender to God. Some of us have it in our mind that at salvation, that was the goal, that Jesus just wanted to get us saved, and that's it. As long as we're saved, we're going to heaven when we die. A lot of the old preachers used to call that fire insurance, right? You know, I'm good as long as I'm saved. But I want you to know that that's not the truth. The goal is for us not only to become saved, but for us to live unconditionally surrendered to God every day of our lives. And I want you to know up front that for my flesh and for your flesh, it's difficult and it's even painful to surrender. How many of you grew up singing at the end of your church services in the old country churches, "All to Jesus, I surrender all"? But the truth is, we grew up singing that song and we hadn't surrendered all. And this is hard for me. I want you to know that one of the most difficult things for me as a pastor, well, not as a pastor, as a human, as a man, as a leader, as a dad, is to give up control, man. I like to be in control of my circumstance. Now, people will come up to me and say, "Jeremy, you know, you look really comfortable on stage, or you look really comfortable at church, and around the church, I'm very comfortable." But I'm gonna tell you, if you're hosting a party at your house or a get together, and I come to your house or I go to an event at your place, you're not going to see the same guy that walks around here at the church looking like he's just in charge of everything. In fact, you'll normally find me sitting in a couch off to the corner to myself, being very quiet, only speaking when spoken to. You say, "Jeremy, I just can't see you being that way." I'm going to tell you, it makes me nervous to be in a situation where I am not in control of everything going on in the room. You say, "Jeremy, you got a real problem." I know I got a real problem, man. I understand. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's how I am. By the way, is there anybody else that understands what I'm saying about that? Like, you know, you get really nervous if you're not in control of what's going on in your surroundings. But the truth is, I can't just come into your house at your party and be like, "I don't like this couch. Let's get a different couch. Can we change the hors d'oeuvres? These things taste terrible." I can't do that at your house. And so I lose a little bit of control. And can I tell you, I'm kind of making light of it, but the truth is, it is painful to give up control. But for us to have an impactful, powerful, meaningful Christian life, we must give up all control of every aspect of our lives. Now, I'm going to be bold here. There are some people in this room today, you already know what God is leading you to do. You already know what God is calling you to do. You already know what God is directing you to do. There's been some things in your heart that you know God has told you to do, and you've said no. You've said no. You've said no. And God is pricking your heart. And right now, while I'm preaching this message, He's bringing it up to you again, and it's in your heart, and you're saying no. And you're saying, Jeremy, if you could just move on to your first point so that I can stop feeling like I'm under conviction of the Holy Ghost right now, that would be great. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to shut up, because you need to surrender to God. You know what God is calling you to do, and you're fighting against it, and you're hoping that God would stop bringing it up. And He has continued to bring it up because you need to deal with your heart. It could be something you need to add in your Christian walk. It could be something you need to take out of your life. It could be something you need to begin. It could be something you need to end. It could be some place you need to go. It could be some relationship that you need to restore. It could be some relationship you need to sever. It could be some place of service where God is calling you to in the church and you're saying no. It could be some piece of material that you have that God wants you to get rid of. It could be a piece of land. It could be some money that you're supposed to bless someone else with or bless the church with. I don't know what the case is, but whatever it is that you are holding on to is puny in comparison to what God has for you. I want you to see this morning, you know, I have people come to me sometimes and I say, Jeremy, you know, I struggle when it comes to giving to the church because I've racked up credit card debt, or I've done this, or I've done that, or I've done whatever. And I just want to say, I want to say this to you. Whatever it is that God is calling you to give to your local church is puny in comparison to the blessing that God is going to bless you with. There are times we say, God, I can't do that. And you know what God says? Yes, you can. How many of you ever told God no and God replies back with, yes. There's some people sitting in this room today. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what's on your mind. But you've been telling God no, 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 no. And you better tell God yes. And you've sang songs like I surrender all, but you're living like I surrender nothing. Or maybe not this one part. If God is leading you into some area, would God ever lead His children into failure? Never. Listen, there is a fourfold promise of total surrender to the perfect shepherd. And this is not from me. This is from Charles Stanley. When you give into the shepherd, there are four things that God has promised you. Number one, maximum blessing. When you surrender all to God, you are accepting God's maximum blessing on your life. Number two, maximum potential. There is maximum potential. In fact, doesn't Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 20 say that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think? And so we are surrendering to maximum potential. Number three, when we surrender to the perfect shepherd, we have maximum fellowship and intimacy with God. And how many of us want that? And then number four, maximum power of the Holy Spirit. But when we don't surrender, you can take the word maximum off of all of that and say partial blessing, minimum potential, a little fellowship and intimacy with God, a little bit of power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want minimal blessings from God on my life. Do you want to settle for just part of what God has for you? So the question is, and I want you to hear me and hear me well, what tiny, insignificant little thing are you holding on to that would limit you from maximizing the benefits listed on the screen behind me? For some of us, maybe it's giving. I mentioned that. And some people say, I can't give. No, it's more likely I won't give. The truth is, can't and won't are not synonyms. They don't mean the same thing. Can't means I don't have the ability to. Won't means I'm not willing to. We need to remember that 100% of our money belongs to God, and He is trusting us to be good stewards of the money He's given to us for His purpose. Are you spending God's money on personal pleasure while disobeying Him in the area of giving financially to the work of God? Every once in a while, it's good for a preacher just to remind you of that. You are to be a steward of 100% of the money God has given you. Maybe it's not giving for you. Maybe it's service. You say, I can't serve. Oh, well, it's more likely I won't serve. Whether it's you or the person next to you or the person on the stage preaching right now or the president in the Oval Office, every one of us has the same 24-hour days. We can all serve. Some just won't. Now, I'm talking about giving. I'm talking about serving. Maybe for you, it's not giving. Maybe for you, it's not serving. Maybe for you, it's something else. And I don't know what that something else may be. But here's what I want you to see in Romans chapter number 2, verse number 4. Do you despise the riches of His goodness, tolerance, patience, not knowing that the goodness of God God leads you to repentance? Hey, how many of us can say with honest hearts and honest minds and honest lips today that God has been good to us? How many of you can say that God has been good to you in spite of you? I'm going to tell you right now, Paul, the author of most of the New Testament, said he was the chiefest of sinners. I can agree with Paul and sympathize with Paul in saying that of all the biggest jerks that doesn't deserve the goodness of God in the room, I am at the top of the list. I don't deserve the goodness of God, but he's given it to me anyway. And it is God's goodness that brings blessing on your life and leads you into a closer walk with him. And he says, well, what is this repentance? Well, repentance is simply changing your mind and actions about a certain area. So you have an area in your mind that says no to God, no to God, no to God, no to God. And God is calling you to turn to him and just say yes. He's not even asking for an apology. Repentance is not an apology. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. And so his goodness leads us to be close to him and to fully surrender to him. Now, I want you to see here the cost of no surrender. And I know we got to move quickly this morning. We want to baptize in a minute. But I want you to see the cost of not surrendering. Here it is. Souls are in the balance. Do we really realize how many people will die without Christ because a majority, and I'm not just talking about us here at Grace, I'm talking about the majority of the church refuses to be fully surrendered to God? Again, I'm not just talking about our church. When I say that, I'm talking about the universal church all around the world. How many people are going to die and go to hell because so many people refuse to be used fully to maximize their potential to God? 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, since, notice what it says in yellow, say it with me, we have this ministry. Say it with me again. We have this ministry. Through the mercy we have received, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the secret things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by expressing the truth and commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now look what it says in verse number 3. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost. And then I want you to see verse number 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but what? Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Most ministries, whether it's the preaching ministry or the church ministry itself, parachurch ministries, whatever the case may be, many of them grow big and then fall. And here's one of the biggest reasons why. You ready for it? It'll fall as soon as we make it all about the man. It took me until this last month or two. My wife finally talked me into putting a staff page on our website so people know who the pastor is around here. You're not going to see my name on the church sign. You're not going to see my name on church letterhead. You don't ever see Pastor Jeremy Vance on things around here. You know why? This thing isn't about me. Who's it about? It's about the Lord. I mean, look, we don't hang signs around here that says Jeremy, period. This is about Jesus, guys. We start saying no to God because we are interested in our own pleasure, and at the same time, our own interest. We make it all about us, and we're forgetting that our gospel is hidden. You see, here's the truth. There's not one believer in this room who needs to find and hear the gospel. You have it. The gospel is not hidden to you. The gospel is hidden to those who are lost. And I would hate to be a hindrance to somebody hearing the gospel.
Senta here again, and I am one of the campus hostesses at Grace. Our church is located on the west side of town towards Ellettsville on Smith Pike. While we are excited to have you joining us by radio today, the very best way you could ever connect with us is to visit us at one of our live in-person services on a Sunday morning. You'll be greeted at the door by the most welcoming and loving church family around. Grab a coffee at our Grace Place coffee area and then settle in the worship center for an amazing worship experience led by our talented singers and instrumentalists, and of course, a message of grace, typically led by Jeremy. We hope you'll come and visit us this Sunday and experience Jesus plus nothing firsthand. For more information about our ministry, visit us at www.bloomington.church. And now, let's get back to today's message of grace.
But look at the next verse here. We preach Jesus, for God, verse number 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he has shown in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Whoa, wait a minute. God uses my changed heart to show the face of Jesus to other people? What an honor to know that God would use my heart, my cold, dirty, wicked heart that God ripped out and gave me a new heart. And he takes that heart that he put inside me and shows the face of Jesus to others. Do you see the cost of not being fully surrendered? Souls are in the balance. We miss out on this. I mean, millions of dollars that could be used for furthering the gospel ministry here in Bloomington and around the world are spent on puny, frivolous things that will never matter in eternity because God's people refuse to totally surrender. Millions of hours that could be spent on God are spent on selfish things. Things that we refuse to fully surrender to God will grow and multiply as problems until we deal with them. Are you saying, Jeremy, are you telling me that I need to spend 24 hours a day serving at the church and giving 100% of my income to the church? Not one bit, but I am telling you this. When God is calling you into something and you say no to it, and God is leading you into something and you say no to it, whether it's with your time, your talent, or your treasure, and God is leading you into it and you say no, I want you to understand the things that you say no to God about will turn into major problems in your life. And so ask yourself this question. This is honestly, when I was writing this sermon, this is the most convicting question I've had to write on a sermon in a long time. How patient has God been with me while I live in rebellion and disobedience? Does that convict anybody else in the room but me? How patient has God been with me while I live in rebellion to what he wants me to do and disobedience to what he wants me to do? The greatest disaster of your life after trusting Christ will be to live to the end of your life and never do what God created you to do. So I'm going to wrap it up right here. I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you, I don't know how many points it is. Like, I'm going to give you 8 really quick points. Number one. How do I grant total surrender to God? How do I do it? Here it is. Number one, recognize that God has the right to ask it. You're never going to give God total surrender unless you realize that he has the right to ask for it. Again, everybody in the room earlier said God's been good to you. If God's been good, then we should live out Romans chapter number 12, verse 1. I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. I told you, this takes sacrifice, man. Daily, living, breathing, sacrifice. Because of what God has done, God has given you life, given you freedom, given you his son as a sacrifice for sin, given you mercy and grace, given you the ability to repent, given you the ability to believe. Romans chapter number 8, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not also freely give us all things? God just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives to us. And I'm not trying to relate it to a human type thing here, but have you ever had somebody in your life who you just give and give and give and give and give to, and they never say thank you, they never give anything back, they never reciprocate? Man, I don't want to be that to God, do you? How can we hold back our time, our devotion, our money, our service, our sacrifice, our surrender? Number two, we must yield myself to his lordship. I must yield myself to his lordship. All that I have, all that I am, all that is within me is under his lordship. Listen, write this down. You want to surrender to God? Here's the one thing you need to give God. And I guarantee you, all the people that are kicking against this message today are not going to do it. You ready? Your attitude. If you can give God your attitude, you won't have a problem giving him anything else. He's just got to have your attitude. When we give the shepherd our attitude, we will live in obedient action to his lordship. Number three, intentionally decide to surrender all control to Him. Now, this may sound redundant, but it's not. We can yield, but we can also unyield. That's how accidents happen at the roundabouts. People decide that they're going to yield, and at the last minute, they decide to unyield, right? And so we must surrender and all control to Him. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Look, surrendering all control to Him means body, soul, and spirit. No exceptions, no restrictions, no bargaining. God doesn't bargain. This isn't The Price is Right with Bob Barker, man. You know, I mean, you don't get to make bargains. This is the real deal. He gets it all. Number four, here's another one. Determine not to argue with God. Boy, is anybody guilty of that? Arguing with God? If He says, if He leads, say what? Yes, or I'll follow. If it's biblical, say yes. Another quote from one of my heroes, Charles Stanley. He said this at a very difficult time whenever people were trying to run him out of his church, and actually they didn't even want him to become the pastor there. In a business meeting at the First Baptist Church of Atlanta with 2,000 people at a business meeting, Charles Stanley stood down front, and one of the deacons hauled off and punched him in the face at a deacon's meeting. Or not at a deacon's meeting, at a business meeting. Y'all thought y'all had some rough ones. And the night Charles Stanley was punched in the face, he said, I'm not leaving. God's called me to be the pastor of this church. And he said this. He said, I'm going to obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. I'm going to obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Number five, eliminate any restricted area of your life. There should be no areas where Jesus is not invited into your life. We cannot compartmentalize Jesus. I'll give you a really quick illustration. When I was in Georgia, we had a very large house when I pastored there. In fact, we had probably the largest, nicest house we've ever had. It was a four-bedroom, four-bathroom house. It was a very unique house in that every bedroom in the house was a master bedroom. Really just an odd build, but hey, man, I liked it. All right. And so it was really nice. And so, and in the basement of that house, it had its own bedrooms down there. It had its own living room down there. It had its own kitchen. I mean, we had two kitchens, two dining rooms, two. We had two of everything. It was a massive place. God provided that for us. And how I missed that house. But it was fun to live in, you know. But at the time, we had a worship leader that came to work for us, and he didn't have a place to live. And so we gave him our basement for a while to live in until he could find a place to live. And we hired this worship leader. And so when he came to live there, his name was Ben. And here's what we told Ben. We said, listen, Ben, I want you to understand that my basement is yours, but my house is not yours. Okay? In other words, don't come upstairs without knocking or calling or whatever ahead of time, because my wife and my kids are going to live like you don't live in the basement. How many of you know what that means, right? And so you don't get to come upstairs. So you have your own entrance, you have your own exit, you have your own kitchen, you have your own bedroom, you have your own bathroom, your own shower, your own sink, your own toilet, your own living room, everything. Just use all that. Now, we didn't tell him he could never come upstairs. I mean, I bet you three or four times a week, Angela fixed him supper. But we wanted him to know, you don't live with us. You live down there. That's probably a bad way to say it, isn't it? But isn't that kind of how we treat the Lord? Jesus, you live in this part of my life. You've got your own room, your own kitchen, your own, you name it. I'll give you my church life. I'll give you my life group life and even, you know, some of my Christian friends at work. But God, don't you be getting in my wallet. And God, don't be taking too much of my time. God, don't be taking too much of my talent. God, I know you've blessed me with this, God, and you've given me this, and you've given me all these wonderful blessings, but I'm only going to give you so much of it access. And God says, no, I don't want to just live in your basement. I want to live in your house. I think we ought to pray as David prayed in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my concerns. See if there be any rebellious way in me, and lead me in the ancient way. Some of us today, we're just living in rebellion. We don't want to live in rebellion to God. You say, Jeremy, this is a hard message. You're preaching hard at us today. I'm not trying to preach hard at you. What I'm trying to say is, if we're truly going to be the sheep that God has called us to be, we must be fully surrendered to our shepherd. That means no restrictions. How many of you today, whenever we sing I Surrender All, would, I just wonder, be willing to either at your seat or at an altar, bow your knee and say, search me, O God, and see if there's any rebellion in me at all, and then lead me. That's a scary prayer to pray, because then God might answer it. Number six, be willing to receive whatever God wants for you. Now, this is the fun one, man. This is the fun one because, you know, when we receive the blessings, we're receiving privileges, we're receiving authority, we're receiving promotion, we're receiving, and I'm not trying to preach like Mr. Osteen and those other guys that just promise all kinds of wealth and health and blessings, but I want you to know that there is a blessing to being obedient. Love, gratitude, grace, leading of the Holy Spirit, all of these, receive it. And we list these things, and you say, Jeremy, that sounds like the easiest one. In fact, I'll pray that. You want me at the altar? I'll go receive it. God, give it to me. Give me the blessings. But the blessings only come from a surrendered heart. We cannot have intimacy with God and receive His blessings for us as long as we keep garbage in our lives that block us from what we really have. What hinders us from receiving everything, maximum blessings from God? I want you to see this as well. Now, I've talked a lot about time, talent, and treasure because those are the big things everybody talks about. But there's something else in your life. Maybe it's something in your past that you're angry about. Are you willing to put your past to death? Are you willing to say death to anger about the past? Two people you need to forgive. Number one, you need some of you in the room today, you need to forgive yourself. You've been holding yourself ransom. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Romans 8, 1, therefore, there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I love Psalm 103. He does not treat us according to our sins. Aren't you glad God doesn't treat us according to our sins? Corey Asbury. How many of you like Corey Asbury, some of his songs? I love one of those lyrics from one of his songs. It says, check your shame at the door, because it ain't welcome anymore. You're in the Father's house. You know why some of you are not fully surrendered to God? Because you won't even forgive yourself for something you've done. Second, you need to forgive your offender. You need to forgive your offender. Somebody's hurt you in the past. You see, Jeremy, you don't know what they did to me though, man. I want you to know that I may not know what they've done, but I can imagine. And I've had people in my office who've had some really, really, really bad things happen to them. And so today, number eight, mentally and literally transfer ownership of yourself to God. I want you to look at our body, soul, and spirit. We're transferring all of these to God, body, soul, and spirit. This allows us to be used just like God wanted His disciples to be used. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 35. He sat down and He called His 12 guys with Him. And He said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he must be what? Last. And servant of all. That means from this section to this section to this section, and you look across this small room here, I want you to see, if you truly want the blessings of God in your life, you're not just surrendering to God, you're surrendering to be the last person in the room. So, well, I just came to church today and I just wanted to see if somebody would sit with me. Why don't you change your mind and say, I just came to church today and I decided I'm going to try to see who I can sit with. Makes a big difference, doesn't it? Be last. Be a servant to all. Servants have the right attitude. My question to you is this. What is keeping you from totally surrendering to the perfect shepherd and looking up into heaven and saying, Lord Jesus, please take control. I surrender all to You.
You've been listening to The Message of Grace with Pastor Jeremy Vance of GraceWilmington.Church. We hope that today's broadcast was a blessing and a help to you. If you would like to hear today's message in its entirety, you can visit our YouTube page by searching Bloomington Virtual Church. You can also listen to messages at our website, www.bloomington.church. And while you're at Bloomington.church, please feel free to leave a donation at the giving link. Your financial donations make our broadcast possible each week. We want to thank those who have donated and those who will choose to this week. Again, my name is Senta, and we would love to have you visit us next Sunday, live and in person at either 9:15 or 11 a.m. And don't forget to tune in weekly, Monday through Friday, for A Moment of Grace with Pastor Jeremy at 7:20. I'm Senta, and you've been listening to The Message of Grace. We hope you'll join us next week. God bless. It's nothing less than scandalous that Jesus